We're going to talk a little bit about baptism. We did in our first service this morning. We talked about baptism. We're going to look at it from a little bit different avenue this morning in this lesson. We're going to talk about the figures of baptism. There are figures. We mentioned one of them, of course. But we're going to look at all the figures that the Bible uses with regard to baptism. Remember, there's one baptism. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. There's one baptism, Ephesians 4 and verse 5, like there's one Lord, one faith, one God, and Father of all. But what are the figures the Bible uses for baptism? Well, it uses the figure of a birth. In John 3, verses 3 and 5, Jesus is the one speaking. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he said, I assuredly say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he says that baptism has to do with water. We talked about that in our first series this morning. Water, much water. But it's like a birth, one being born anew, born again. And that's the way the Bible uses. That's the figure. But it's also, the figure is of washing something. For instance, in Hebrews 10, verse 22, the apostle writing to the Hebrews said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our bodies washed with pure water. He also said having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, but our bodies washed with pure water. There you have a washing. So that's what takes place in the birth. There's a washing. That's a figure of what takes place in baptism, because we're going to see that baptism has something to do with washing away sins. But also the word cleansing is used. There's a cleansing that takes place, and that's a figure of baptism also. In Ephesians 2:26, Paul was speaking, he said, he might cleanse her, talking about the church. He's talking about the church here. He's talking about what Christ did for her. He said he cleansed her with the washing of water with the word. So you have the word washing again there, but you have the cleansing that takes place by the water. We understand that physical realm. We're told to wash our hands. That's not anything new. I can remember my mother used to tell me, I'd come in from playing outside, and we'd done all kinds of things when we were little boys, little girls, didn't we? And she'd say, we'd run to the table because we're hungry and start to sit down. Mom would say, have you washed your hands, James? And I'd mumble something. She said, let me see. She'd look at him and say, go wash them. And I'd go wash them in a hurry, come back to the table, let me see them. Go wash them again. What she was saying is you need to make them clean before you sit down to eat. We understood that principle when we were children, maybe not as well as we do today, but we understood the principle. So there's a cleansing that takes place. The cleansing has to do, as we're going to see later, with regard to sin. But another figure that is used in baptism is that one is baptized into the name of something or someone. Well, of course, literally you can't be baptized into that, but there's a figure in which you are. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus again is speaking. He said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So there's a figure of one being baptized into the name of God. You know, that's a wonderful thing to realize when you think about it, having the opportunity to be baptized into the name of God. In the name of God and of the in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19 and verse 5, also, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesians this time. He said they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's a figure. But also, when we think about baptism, there's a purpose of baptism. Why are we washed? Why are we cleansed? Well, there's a purpose for that. I mentioned this in passing a moment ago, but in Acts 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Paul said it's for remission of sins. That's the purpose of baptism. It's for remission of sins. Peter said to those people who said, what must we do? What can we do about the fact that we murdered the Son of God? What can we do? Peter said to them, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. There's that in the name of. But he said, be baptized for the remission of your sins. So what's the purpose of baptism? That the sins might be remitted. That they might be remitted for remission of sins. Well, what happens when they're remitted? Well, in Acts 3, the same speaker is writing or speaking to these some other Jews, and he says to them, repent therefore and be converted. Or if you have the older translation, it says turn again. You turn back to God. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So when there's a remission of sins, folks, there's a blotting out of sins. And that's an old figure there, isn't it? Of the idea of someone having something on a page, maybe dropping an ink blot on a page and taking a blotter and taking it out. But even better than that, I can remember one of the first typewriters I had that was like some of the computers that we have today, only it just had a little screen about like this. It was a Royal, I remember that. I thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world, that you could actually print some things or write some things on there, and if you made a mistake, you just erased it. You remember that tape they used to have that you could put on your IBM and put there and hit that letter again, and it was just gone. What happened to it? It's blotted out. That's the idea. Your sins are blotted out. So what happens in baptism? What's the purpose of it? Remission of sins, to have the sins blotted out. That's the purpose of it. Well, what also happens? What's another purpose of it? Salvation. When we talk about the sins being remitted and the sins being blotted out, what we're talking about is salvation. That's the purpose of baptism. In 1 Peter 3, verse 21, 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter said, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. If the washing is not washing the outward man, the washing really is washing the inward man in a sense. So baptism doth also now save us. It's interesting to me when I hear people say today, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Here's the Apostle Peter who's speaking as the Spirit gives him utterance, and he says it saves. Well, one of those things can't be right. Neither one of them can be the same. They're not the same. One of them has to be wrong. Either it does save or it doesn't save. Are we going to accept the word of the Godhead? Because Peter is speaking as the Holy Spirit inspired him to speak. We talked about that a little bit in our first lesson this morning. Jesus said he'll guide you into all truth. What is the Holy Spirit guiding Peter to say? Baptism doth also now save us. He's not talking about in the past or even the future there. He's talking to those people who said, you're saved by what? By baptism. That's what you're saved by. But what happens when we're saved by baptism? Well, we're sanctified. We're washed. We're sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. But not only are we washed and sanctified, we're justified. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 again. We're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Look at that. In the name of. There it is again. We're justified. When we what? When we're washed, we're justified. We're sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart. That's what we were talking about just a moment ago, sanctification, but we're justified. We're set apart. We're justified. We're made just. But let's look at another purpose the Bible talks about. There's something that's regenerated, brought back, regenerated. In Titus 3 and verse 5, the apostle is speaking to Titus. He says, we're not saved by works of righteousness we've done ourselves. In other words, we can't do enough good works ourselves to save ourselves, but we're saved according to His mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We're regenerated. We're brought back. There's that new birth we were talking about. And how does that happen? We're washed. We're baptized. We looked at that this morning. We were talking about the fact that one is buried, therefore, with Him, with Christ, through baptism and death and raised to walk in newness of life. There's a regeneration that comes forth. And we do that because we want to have a good conscience. That's also a purpose of baptism. Look again with me, if you will, at 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Peter said, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, which we talked about a moment ago, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. I want my conscience to be clean. When I go or come out of the water grave baptism, I can tell people I'm saved and I'm going to feel good about it. I hear people pat themselves here, I just feel good all over. Well, he's not talking about this. He's talking about this. You have a good conscience. You know you've done what the will of God is. Paul said, I've lived in all good conscience. We may not be able to say that in our entire life. But after we're baptized into Christ, we can say, I've lived in good conscience. Before we die, after we've obeyed the gospel through all those years, we can say, I lived in good conscience. Why? Because my sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's another one, Revelation 1 and verse 5. So when we talk about baptism, what does it do? Well, I guess the purpose of it would be a lot about what we're talking about, but let's look at something else. We talk about being baptized in the name of Christ. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that one puts on Christ. It puts one into Christ. That's what it does. It puts us into Christ, baptism does. As many of you were baptized into Christ, Paul said, put on Christ. That's how we put on Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And many of you who were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, he says. So what happens in baptism? We put on Christ. Why wouldn't we want to do that? He's the Savior of the world. Why wouldn't we want to put on Christ? He goes ahead to say, you're joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Why wouldn't we want that? That's what he says in Galatians 3. But also, we talked about it a moment ago, it washes away sin. There's a remission of sin, there's a blotting out of sin, there's a washing away of sin that takes place in baptism. That's what it does. Why are you waiting? You remember Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16? He's the one later on is called the Apostle Paul and became the great Apostle Paul. Wrote all those letters we have in the New Testament. But he had been persecuting Christians, and on the way to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him, so why are you persecuting me? In the process of that discussion, Saul asked, what would you have me do? What must I do? What would you have me do, Lord? And the Lord told him, go to Damascus, and there it would be signified or told him what he had to do. And the prophet of God came to him and told him, why are you waiting, Saul? What are you sitting here for? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. What happens in baptism? We wash away our sins because that's how we call on the name of the Lord. That's how we do it. I tell you what, folks, don't let people out in the world tell you don't need to do what the Lord said do. Here's the Lord speaking through this prophet. He told Saul, you go to Damascus and I'll tell you what you need to do. And he sent someone, an amanuensis, he sent someone to Saul who told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. And he said, when you do that, you're calling on the name of the Lord. How many times do you hear people today, denominational preachers, maybe you see it on television or whatever, and they say, well, and I've recently seen one during this virus, a very popular one, a very famous one, by the name of Graham. And he's telling people just to pray this prayer. Lord, for God, for Christ's sake, has saved my sins. Just pray that. Which is nowhere found in the Bible. He's telling people to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But here's the prophet Ananias came to Saul speaking the words of the Lord now. And said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The only way one's sins can be washed away is to do what Jesus said he ought to do. To have the sins washed away. It is amazing to me how many people deny that passage of Scripture. Now, I'm not the judge. I realize God's going to take care of that, and after a while, He'll decide whether a person should spend eternity with Him or not. But I can't tell somebody, as a preacher, I can't tell them they can go to heaven just praying a sinner's prayer and not being baptized into Christ. The reason I can't tell them that is because that's not what Christ said. It puts one into Christ and it washes away sin. Is baptism important? No wonder. People were told that they disobeyed God when the Apostle Peter told them to be baptized, that some people disobeyed it. Some people didn't do that. Well, again, what does it do? It puts one into the one body, which is the Lord's church. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians there. That's the church of God, which is at Corinth. What body were they in? The body of Christ. We're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free. So everybody then Whether they're Jews or Greek, and in the Bible they didn't recognize anybody else but Jews or Greeks. Whether we're bond or free, it doesn't make any difference. Whether they were slaves at that time or freemen, everybody had to be baptized into the one body. And Paul tells the Corinthians, that's what happened to you. You were all baptized into one body. Because what happens is you've been put into the death. And we talked about that a little bit this morning. In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? I talked about that as a figure, of course, but the idea is that one is buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also might rise to walk in newness of life. Or, the newer translation said, should walk in newness of life. So what happens when we're baptized? We're put into the death of Christ. You think about that, put into the death of Christ. Jesus Christ went down into the water and came up out of the water. John baptized Him. That's what happened. He went down into the water and came up out of the water. That's what happens to us. But also a purpose of baptism is it brings joy. It always brings joy when we know that we've done what we ought to do. You remember as children, Thomas might remember this. He probably does. Thomas, when you do what your parents tell you to do, don't you feel good about it? Now, don't shake your head no. I'll tell you what, if you don't now, you will when you get older. We're very happy today. It makes us feel so good to know we've done something. Like a child goes in sometimes when mom's real busy and she's doing the clothes and all that, and he goes in and washes the dishes. Never has done that before. Maybe not a very good job because he doesn't know how. But he washes the dishes and comes in. He's just beaming. Mom, look what I did. What he wants is for her to pat him or her on the head, right? That's what he wants. Because it made him feel good to do something for Mama. That's what he does. Or maybe in the spring he goes out when Dad's hard at work, and Mom's working in the house and fixing dinner. The weeds are coming up in the yard, and he goes out there, and to the best of his ability, he pulls the weeds. Maybe he doesn't get the roots and they come back, but he pulls the weeds. Little boy, little girl, comes in just beaming. Mom, look what I did. Dad, look what I did. What joy that brings. Well, the same thing is true about baptism. With the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized by Philip. They both went down into the water, and this verse says they came up out of the water. And the Spirit caught away Philip so that the eunuch saw him no more. Look at what happened. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he knew he had done exactly what Philip told him he needed to do when he preached unto him Jesus. And I mentioned that this morning. You cannot preach Jesus without preaching baptism. If you're going to preach Jesus, you have to preach baptism. Now, that's not all about preaching to you, but you have to preach baptism. How do I know that? Because Philip went into the chariot to preach something that the eunuch said, I don't understand. And after they went a certain way, after he preached to him, the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? So what do I learn from that? I learned that to preach Jesus, you have to preach baptism because that's what puts you into Christ, and that's also what produces joy. You come up out of the water of grave baptism, your sins are washed away. No wonder there's joy. I can understand why the eunuch did that. He went on his way rejoicing. Did he sing songs? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Did he whistle? I don't know. But whatever it was, there was joy. It produced joy. Well, what happens if we're not baptized? There's great danger, folks, if we're not baptized. Great danger. Look with me at Luke 7 and verse 30. We alluded to that just a few moments ago. John the Baptist came baptizing. I realize it's not the same baptism of Ephesians 4 and verse 5. That's the one baptism. That one was done away. There's another one. I understand all that. And that's another lesson. But notice this application. Notice this principle. The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him. What'd they do? They rejected the will of God. If a person is not baptized into Christ, he's what? He's rejecting the will of God. I mentioned this just a moment ago when we were talking about when Paul said the things he said about baptism. When Peter said the same things he did about, when Ananias said, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sin." If people don't do that, they are rejecting what God says. Now, I'd be afraid to meet God and after a while and say, "Why did you reject what I said?" But it happens every day, people are told. And young people are told when they're in school with others, "You don't have to be baptized." The old devil's convinced a lot of people about that, hasn't he? But the danger is you reject the will of God when you're not baptized. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God. So if I don't observe baptism as a command of God and observe it in the right way, I'm just like one of the Pharisees that's mentioned in Luke 7. The danger of not being baptized is that we disobey God and we reject God. Look at Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. The Hebrew writer said, "Though he was a son," talking about Christ, "yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfected or completed, he became the author of eternal salvation." Listen to this. "To all them that obey him." Now, am I going to obey Jesus or not? Jesus said to the apostles, "You go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe that," he said, "you'll be damned." Now, am I going to obey God or not? That's the point. So we've looked, I think, at nearly every facet of baptism. When we talk about baptism, it's not a sprinkling or a pouring, because it's going down into the water, going into and coming up out of. But what it does is it remits the sins when we do that. The sins are washed away. The sins are blotted out. We're saved. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're put into Christ. We're baptized into one body, the body of Christ. And if we're faithful till we die, we'll go to heaven. We'll go to heaven. But folks, I want to tell you, there's a danger. A great danger not doing that, because if one doesn't, he rejects the commandment of God. If I were to say to somebody who's religious, "You know what, you don't really have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven when you die," you know what they'd say? "No, that's not so, James. You've got to believe in Jesus. You can't reject that." And in their mind, they might not say it out loud, but in their mind they'd be saying, "You can't go to heaven doing that, because you're rejecting the testimony of God." Well, the same thing's true with regard to baptism, folks. Don't spend your life listening to other people when they tell you don't have to. You be baptized into Jesus Christ so you can go to heaven someday. Now, you may not understand all things about religion. You may not understand all things about the Bible. You may not understand all things about judgment. But one thing you can understand, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And he also said, "If you don't believe that, you'll be damned." Now, none of us want to be damned, do we? We want to go to heaven someday. What was the number 313? Number 313 in your book. And listen to this song. "Though your sins be as scarlet," just as red as they can be, "can't be any worse, like those people on the day of Pentecost. They shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow." That's the first verse. And then look at the last verse. "He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more." And he just repeats it and repeats it, doesn't he? Can I help you go to heaven when you die? By helping you do the things today while you're alive that you need to do? Will you let me help you do that?